today's featured guest, Ralph Acampora of Altera Wealth Management. Ralph Acampora, it's a pleasure to have him on the show. He makes his debut appearance today, co-founder of the Chartered Market Technician designation. That's right, CMT, director of technical research at Smith Barty, Kidder Peabody, Prudential Securities, Knight Securities. What a curriculum vitae, published author, and now head at Altera Wealth Management. Welcome to the show, Mr. Acampora.
Thank you, Chris.
In your latest Longview report, you note the U.S. economy appears to have decoupled from the rest of the world, and we're seeing signs of cracks, aren't we, in the foundations? We're seeing the U.S. dollar act in a very different way. U.S. stocks, new all-time highs, the Dow Jones at like 117, 118-year high in recent weeks and months, and the domestic economy showing some strength. Can you tell us more, please?
We went through a very, very difficult time in 07, 08, and early 09. I call it a near global depression. To come out of that takes time. And that's exactly what the market's been doing. The market itself has been reflecting the slow but steady progress. It's frustrating for a lot of people, myself included. There were times when I was looking for a correction, felt that the need was great for this correction, and we have not had a 10% correction, as you know, since I think it was October of 2011. Now, having said all that, the market itself is a leading economic indicator, and I think the stubbornness to the upside indicates that the U.S. is on the right path. We just have to take time. We'll have some corrections on the way up, but longer term, I am a secular bull.
You know, when you say something like a depression, for those of us with the peculiar mental capacity, maybe it is, to stare at the markets, look at the charts, I would even maybe be so bold as to say it could have been worse than the Great Depression. It looked like it was going to be the end of all markets from my perspective. Never seen a blue chip and bellwether stocks trading, you know, at 90, 80, 70% off their highs, trading like penny stocks, many of them. And you're right, we've had quite a rebound, but it doesn't seem like the everyday investor on Main Street has picked up to the idea that stocks are safe again. It seems like many people, you ask them, they say, oh, 2008 was all I needed to see. I've washed my hands of this. Will this bull, do you think, continue to run until the typical investor returns to the market?
That's when classic bull markets end, when you have excessive public speculation. The last time we have seen anything of that magnitude, of course, was in the late 90s. And I suspect we're a long, long way from that happening. Just look at the amount of cash and money in money market funds and treasuries. The public is, as you said, and rightly so, the public is not in this market, hasn't been in this market in a big way. I think as time goes by, and I'm talking in the next 5, maybe 8, 10 years, when Mrs. O'Brien opens up her monthly statements and starts seeing that she's losing money in this bond market, I strongly believe that over the next 10, 15, 20 years, interest rates definitely will be going back up in a significant way. It'll take time, but it'll be a significant way. And when the statements start reflecting this loss in bonds, that will be when the public starts migrating back into equities. And again, I think this is a long-term effort, a situation which only adds years to the secular bull. So it all fits. Just got to be patient. Stay with equities.
You mentioned raising interest rates, and this has obviously been a concern, particularly to the precious metals crowd for some time, because typically gold, silver are viewed as non-interest-bearing asset classes, or an asset class, and as such, as rates are low, well, they tend to outperform paper, if you will, but when rates increase, they have greater competition from dividend-bearing securities, such as equities, as you mentioned. But if we look back in time, in the 1970s, rates were increasing throughout most of that decade, and it was one of the greatest precious metals bull markets in history. You've gone on record in your 2015 Longview, a proponent of gold allocation. You think that this is warranted. Can you tell us more, please?
Yeah, especially in the position I'm in. I talk to clients, high net worth clients in the Mideast. In their particular situation, they definitely need another form of asset allocation. And so a percent of a large amount of money should be dedicated to that. But when I'm talking to the individual that's walking around the street that doesn't have that kind of asset, I don't think you have to be overly weighted in gold or silver. A small portion, yes, of course, but not to the excess. And I say this only because I need more evidence to suggest that gold and silver has finally bottomed. Gold right now is about $1,175, and you just wouldn't want to see it below $1,150. And then I think you'd be talking triple digits and that. And again, this is not hard and fast. If people feel a little bit more comfortable with the precious metals, that's fine, but I wouldn't overweight my position.
Probably creating a great capitulation opportunity for longer-term investors, but it's great to hear the voice of reason. It's not going to be a popular view with our investors, but you know, it might help folks focus still in the bull market, which is still equities, and we want people to wake up to that. And you know, you do need that allocation because you never know when you might have a Cyprus-like moment, a rehypothecation, and there's also, of course, the opportunity for unscrupulous currency machinations. And I like your idea of having some allocation regardless of your stance because, you know, we're not like King Canute. We can't command the tides. We're not sure exactly what tomorrow will bring. So all good advice. I would point out that gold in terms of the ruble looked destined to collapse, but it entered a massive bull market and increased over 100% in just a few months' time.
I'm an old timer. I've been in the business close to 50 years. And the oldest theory in technical analysis is Dow theory. I think it's flashing a warning signal. Let me explain what that's all about. First of all, Dow theory is not a short-term indicator. It identifies major trends, primary bull markets and primary bear markets. How does it do that? Well, there are two averages involved, Dow Jones Industrials, the producers of products, and the Dow Jones Transportation Average, the shippers of products and people, okay? When they're both making new closing, that's be closing highs, that's said to be in a primary bull market. Whenever they divert, in other words, one's making a new high and the other one is non-confirming, that's the important word, non-confirmation. That happened earlier this year. Actually, the transportation average peaked on January 29th and has not been able to make a new high since then. And begrudgingly, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has been making new highs recently. That divergence suggests that perhaps there is a problem somewhere. When I drill down and look at the components in the Dow Jones Transportation Index, I'm horrified by what I see. The rails are just falling apart. Now I'm starting to see the airlines getting tagged again today.
Transportation seemed to help bring us out of the quagmire, didn't they?
Absolutely. In fact, that was one of the indicators I used. A very good friend of mine that had a Piper Cub plane and would fly over somewhere in Montana and see how many trains were just sitting in the sidelines.
The Acampora indicator.
Yes. And he reported back to me. He said there were 100 miles of railroad tracks just full of trains parked there. And then he started to report to me, well, gee, Ralph, there's only 60 miles. So I know those trains were coming out of the parking lot. And I suspect they're going back into that parking lot.
When we talk about the Dow, I haven't studied that too close, not in many years. And I do know it's based on Charles Dow, who, of course, created the index. Also, I think he was an integral part of the Wall Street Journal originally. How accurate do you find this? Is this something that we should all be taking very seriously?
You know, you can have non-confirmation, which is what I was talking about, for months, several months, maybe many months. In fact, the year 2000, the first week of the new millennium, we had the same problem. Dow Industrial would close at an all-time new high, and the transportation peaked 6 months before that. And for the next 12 months, the market was in a wide trading range until it finally got its bear market in early 2001. So we're 5 months into this very choppy trading range. That could last for a while, but you definitely don't want to see new reaction lows in the industrial average. I suspect anything below 17,000 on the Dow would mean for me, and I'm being conservative, would mean that we started a Dow Theory's primary bear market. And always remember that Dow Theory is never early. You usually lose the first 10% going out of the market, lose the first 10% starting a primary bull market. And you say, well, gee, this isn't a very useful tool. Well, if I can capture 80% of the primary move up and 80% of the primary move down, just using this indicator, I'd be very happy. And I see that. It's not, again, it's not a trading tool. It's just a confirmation. All it's saying to me is the little dashboard light on my car is flashing and says, Ralph.
If it helps you capture the trend, that's what all the professionals are after. They leave the daily and weekly noise and gyrations to the speculators. That would certainly bode well for commodities, which have just suffered through nearly 4 years of some of the toughest consolidation and, I guess you'd say, bear market in decades. That would seem to indicate that maybe the precious metals might find a bottom in the next year or so. Does that seem plausible?
I've seen markets, stock markets, go up and down with commodities doing the same.
Just like we saw last week, what an interesting divergence. Even the U.S. dollar suffered. We had commodities, stocks, bonds blistered, short-term, long-end. But I did find one asset class, and that was China, what people are already calling a bubble, which to me means there's probably room to grow. The Shanghai Index and equities across the board. Any thoughts there?
If you're flying at 30,000 feet and you're looking down at the world and you say, where is the strongest market? And yeah, I'd have to go China. China for the last several months has really been exuberant to the upside. You can't forget the Japanese market. The Nikkei 225 also looks attractive. So yes, there are times when, you know, you rotate. Again, if you have that global view, you do rotate. And right now, China seems to be the place I'd want to concentrate that in Japan.
You know, when you talk about higher rates, of course, that brings to mind thoughts of this 30-year bull market we've seen in bonds. And we've all been trained, I think, for decades by market materials and literature to have that solid allocation of bonds, regardless of our age, unless you're your 20s or 30s or something. But for most of us, it's an important aspect of the portfolio. We're getting warning signs from folks, veterans like yourself, Bond King, formerly of PIMCO, Bill Gross, and many others in this sector warning that that bull is over, and they're very concerned of a primary downtrend there that could last years, even decades. Any thoughts?
Yes. Fortunately, we don't have in front of us a 60-year picture of interest rates. And it's actually a 30-year cycle, 30 years up, 30 years down. I remember, in fact, I was on a TV show not too long ago, and this young man was complaining. He was sitting next to me. He was so worried. Oh, my gosh, mortgage rates are going up to 4%. And I looked at him. I said, I had this shocked look on my face. I said, excuse me, young man. I said, give me a break. I bought an apartment in New York City 20 years ago, and it paid 9.5%. And I was kissing the bank for thanking. I was thanking them for getting only 9.5%. I said, what are you talking about? Now, if you look at that 60-year picture, guess what? We've had 30 years from the early 80s all the way down to where we are now, where rates have come down. Mm. If you believe in long-term cycles, and that's, of course, where I'm at, and I won't live 30 more years, but I'll tell you, the next 10 or 15 years, you're going to see rates slowly start working their way higher. And that's what the Bill Grosses of the world are saying, because as you know, rates slowly work their way higher over the next decade or two or three. Guess what? Bond prices come down. So you have basically, not on short term, but on a longer term basis, an asset that you got to be very, very careful with.
So that would seem to indicate that a re-weighting of a typical portfolio, would you redirect funds into equities with global exposure, perhaps global bonds and commodities?
Look at high-yielding equities. You know, the utilities under pressure here. I think they're going to continue under pressure. That would be a place I would look at. Not right away. Wait till you feel comfortable that the utilities have bottomed. I think you'll find some very, very nice long-term yields there. And you're right. I think you start looking globally. Munis are not bad. Tax-free munis, that's a nice suggestion.
Plus, you have the benefit of the tax-free aspects, for at least for your state taxes, that is. So very, very good. And I guess then, as far as precious metals, you've covered those bases pretty well. Anything else on the radar screen that you see headed this way? My guess is someone with your perspective and experience likely is watching several key events that might impact investors in the coming months and years.
If you agree with me that we're in a secular long-term bull market, with periods where we have bear markets, by the way, and if you're starting to be a little concerned like I am about the flashing light on my dashboard, you're saying to yourself, well, you know, where could I go? You have to start thinking sector rotation. There are 10 S&P sectors. Four of them I still think are attractive. Financials, consumer discretionary, healthcare, and technology. The other six, different degrees of neutral to down. So I think you have to be sector and stock specific over the next 6 months or so.
We even saw signs of that last week where the Dow suffered so much on interest rate concerns, but the tech stocks were virtually unfazed, ending near break even, while the S&P and the Dow, the larger cousins there, suffered sharp declines. I think it's more to it than that. Of course, the major international exposure was impacted by a strong dollar. Of course, those exports in the multinationals, whereas the techs are not quite as affected by that. Could you please tell people more about Altera and the wealth management strategies that you have there and how they can get in touch with you if you'd like to?
In 2007, I retired. It lasted literally, Chris, it lasted 2 weeks. And I got a phone call from my cousin Anthony, who lives in Switzerland. He was a part of a company called Russell & Company, which we all know, in Seattle, Washington. And the top management of Russell retired, and so they all decided to start a little bit of a company, and that became Altera. Tony, my cousin, great exposure to the Mideast and in Europe. And that's when we started to advise those people. We have some funds, high dividend, ethical investing fund, which has done very, very well and fits into what you and I were talking about, conservative long-term investing. It's global. I'm having fun, keeping my finger in the pie. And my wife and I just bought the family farm, so checking the horses and the chickens.
Marvelous. That's great. We actually have chickens ourselves on our family property. And we're going to look forward to hopefully having you back on GoldSeek.com radio.
Okay, Chris. Thank you for your invitation. Thank you, sir.